Hi, I'm Roy Colin, and I'm the creator of the podcast. You can find everything about me and the five podcasts on bio.link/podcaster, and you'll find it in the QR code there. I'd also like to thank my sponsors. If you or someone you know is struggling with anxiety and want to know how to be 100% anxiety free in 6 weeks without therapy or drugs, Daniel Packard Anxiety Solution Program Company offers a 6 weeks system that permanently solves anxiety at an astounding 90% success rate. People who join the program only pay at the end once they have clear, measurable results. If you're interested in learning more, go to permanentanxietysolutions.com, where you can book a free consultation with Daniel. You have high blood pressure and want to get off the meds? Doctors are amazed at what Zona Plus can do. Get a $50 discount with my code ROY. Go to zona.com/discount/Roy, and you see the QR code for all my sponsors down at the end. Quality Polish manufacturer of metal products for telecommunication and workshop equipment and other metals. If you'd like a brochure, you see it in the QR code, and you just let us know if you would like a quotation shipped internationally and very competitive rates. I hope you enjoy this week's podcast.
Welcome to the Meditation Podcast. You can find all our episodes on meditationpodcast.org. We're also on YouTube and Rumble. Find the links in the podcast description. I got four other podcasts, and you'll find everything and my coaching on bio.link/podcaster. My guest today, also a podcaster, meditation, spiritual transformation coach, energy healer, and beekeeper. Ooh. Please welcome Cara Goodwin.
Hello, Roy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Looking forward to this. I've basically given a few bullet points, but you might let the listeners know a little bit more about Cara.
Yes. So as you mentioned, I am a podcaster. I have a podcast called The Meditation Conversation. We talk about, I'm almost 300 episodes in, so it began as very much a like how to fit meditation into your life and so forth. And it's kind of evolved into a consciousness podcast of the different areas of consciousness, how we expand our consciousness. I have a lot of guests on who talk about different things relating to consciousness, but that may be things like energy work. It might be to do with extraterrestrials and what they have to do with our spiritual expansion, consciousness expansion, quantum technology, lots of different things.
Yeah, we bought related. A Tom. That was very interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I forget his name, Paladino or something.
Paladino.
Like that. Paladino, yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So that type of thing. I love talking about that. A lot of things about research with what is happening with meditation or with intention, group intention, hypnosis, all of those kinds of things I love to dive into. Because the truth is there is just a lot out there to aid our expansion of our consciousness and our development, our understanding of who we are and why we're here. So that's the Meditation Conversation podcast. And I spend a lot of time working on that. And I also have a community called the Healing Hearth. And with that, that's more of my transformational coaching. So it is meditation. We spend a lot of time meditating together online, but it's also diving into spiritual growth and trying to look at life from that lens, offering people that lens of what's in this, what is the spiritual nature of life and what is happening to all of us in our life experiences. And so those are really the ways that I like to work with people. As you mentioned, I'm also a beekeeper. I do treatment-free beekeeping. So it doesn't require, once you kind of get that up and running, it doesn't really require a ton of hands-on work. But I really enjoy spending time with bees, with animals. And then I have a family as well. So I've got two teenage children and my husband. So I feel like I have a lot of balance where I've got like a lot of kind of spiritual, more etheric stuff happening. And then I have the very grounding family life, you know, being a mother, sort of carting my family around and getting them from thing to thing, which is a very, very earthly human thing. So I have a lot of facets to my being, as we all do.
Brilliant, brilliant. So I'm curious about the beekeeping, because it's like critical, and even like in my own garden, I'm consciously like I didn't cut the grass intentionally just to give the food for the bees. But how did you get into that?
Well, bless you for doing that and for being mindful about the balance of nature. I got into it really because I understood the importance of bees and their impact on our ecology and the survival of sentient life on this planet. So I really, that's why I got into it years ago, and I was doing traditional beekeeping. I mentioned I'm a treatment-free beekeeper. I had a couple of people on my podcast, two authors who wrote a book called What Bees Want, Jacqueline Freeman and Susan Niles. They really, that book and that interview really opened my eyes to really the harm of conventional beekeeping, like when you're keeping them, where you're manipulating the hives, and we're doing the things that I used to do in my practice of trying to keep the hive from swarming, you know, from leave, like where half the hive leaves, because that's really not great for honey production. Of course, assuming that the humans are going to come in and take the honey for their own benefit, leaving the bees with sugar water, which is basically like taking mother's milk from bees and then replacing it with candy. You know, they with the honey, they're creating their own elixir, their own medicine, their own antibodies. It's the way that they survive. There's a lot with conventional beekeeping that is it's counterproductive, and it's actually really hard on the hives and on the bees. It makes it hard for them to multiply in terms of for us to have more bee hives, because we, in traditional beekeeping, you're trying to keep the bees from leaving so that they produce more honey within your hive. That means that what naturally happens is the bees like get big, like they just keep populating, and then half of them leave, or more than half of them, and they go create a new beehive, and then you've got two where you once had one. Now there are two out in the world. One of them's not in your hive anymore. It's off wherever it lands. And then the other one that was there, it repopulates. And then those continue to split off. And this is how we populate the earth with bees, is by allowing that natural process of swarming. But with traditional beekeeping, we prevent that from happening. So we do a lot of things to trick the hive into not swarming, which of course ultimately is reducing the bee population. Even though we get these massive hives, you get one hive that's hugely massive and productive, and it's like really working to create a lot of honey. So it took a big change in my consciousness, a big change of what I was actually wanting out of my hive, which was not so much about the honey production for my consumption or for me to sell, and more about like, I actually want more healthy bees in the world. And there's a better way to do that. There's a more mindful approach. And it took a complete recalibration within my own psyche, within my own understanding. It was another growth opportunity of really coming to terms with what I want for this world, and the changes that were required of me as a beekeeper.
And I remember, like, younger or even not so long ago, I would freak out with bees. And if I was eating at night, a bee come, and now I'm just calm and they do nothing to you. So I'm actually totally present. I'm looking, I'm enjoying them, watching the flower bend as the bumblebee is actually on the flower. And I think it's like, because you're freaking out, they're just reacting to your vibrations.
Yes, they're very, very intuitive. One of the books that Jacqueline Freeman wrote, the guest that I mentioned, is called Song of Increase. And she actually channels the bees that she works with. And this book is her channeling of how they perceive the world and the multidimensional way that they perceive the world, and how they can tune into whether a flower's already been pollinated, what the flower needs, in this whole like give and take of like this whole relationship between the bee and the flower, and the signals that they're getting. It was really, really amazing and beautiful to see it in that multidimensional way. But like you say, watching the flowers bend to the bee and the shape of the bee, like we have lavender in our garden, and I love watching the bees approach, and it's like they kind of like hug the flower as they get the nectar, but it's like the flower is shaping, like the two shapes, they're like two puzzle pieces where they come in, they grab on, and it's like the flower takes the shape, and it's this perfect union, and it's very quick. But it's like, oh my God, they were so made for each other. And of course we have evolution and so forth that can, you know, we can go down that route of like how the flowers shape for the pollinators and vice versa and stuff. But it's really spectacular to watch nature in that way.
Brilliant. And I'd love to know your own kind of meditation journey. How'd you get into all of this?
Well, like many people do with the life changes that they go through, mine came because out of necessity and tragedy, really. Years ago, I was living a pretty conventional life. I've always been interested in some of the things like reincarnation and the stories of like children remembering their past lives, things like that always interested me. But I also felt removed from that. Like they were just kind of interesting stories, but I didn't really feel necessarily connected to that type of world beyond the five senses. And then years ago, I had a year, or actually like five, so I think it was about 6 months, 7 months, where it was my life just kind of fell apart with my family, not the family within my household, but like my parents and my siblings and things, beginning with the death of my sister-in-law, so my husband's sister, which was shocking, and we were very close. That was really difficult. And then that was immediately followed by our dog passing away, and my stepdad then was, his health declined very quickly, and he had to have a surgery on his brainstem, spinal cord area, which was a very delicate, you know, we didn't know if that was going to lead to paralysis. Luckily he's doing very well. But, and then my mother-in-law was hit by a motorbike while she crossed the street. So she was in hospital and recovery for that. And then my stepmom was in the ICU for a failing heart, and she had a heart transplant just in time. But that was a big, you know, having a heart transplant is a very big deal. So all of that happened in very quick succession. And my family and I were living abroad at the time. So that was like even harder that we couldn't be with anybody. And it was starting to feel like every time I answered the phone, it was terrible news. And so I really felt that I needed something to help me kind of just cope. And I had been drawn to meditation for years before that, but I'd never been able to really get it to work for me. I kind of just approached it as like, well, I just need to give myself time to sit, and then I won't think, and there some magic will happen. And ultimately I would sit and not think for about a half a second, and then I would just be thinking and I wouldn't get anything out of it, and I'd stop doing it. And this was a cycle. Like I'd get this reinvigorated, like, I want to learn to meditate. This is the missing thing in my life. And then I wouldn't know what I was doing, and I would drop it very quickly. But with this, it was like, I really need to go deeper in my life. And so I recognized that I really wanted to do it and experience it and let it be part of my life. And I needed a teacher for that. And so that was the difference for me, is I got a teacher. I learned techniques and methods. Because it is more, as you know, it's more than just sitting down and having the intention of not thinking. You know, that's not where the magic is, because we just immediately start thinking with no training. So getting some methods, learning how the breath works with the mind and the use of a mantra and so forth, really helped me to have a consistent practice that actually made me feel different. And so for me, it started very much as a necessary coping mechanism. And I really was very hesitant on the spiritual side. I was very hesitant of kind of bringing God into it and kind of letting it be a spiritual connection, a spiritual practice for me, which is funny for me to look back on that, because now I get like, that's the primary purpose is spiritual connection. It's growing myself spiritually. It's understanding myself and experiencing myself as more than this human body, and experiencing that connection with God, with my higher self, and really utilizing it as a tool to continue to strengthen that connection so that more and more I am kind of just letting this energy flow through me and letting that be my living experience rather than, just feeling better and feeling, not so stressed or not so anxious. That's all kind of the byproduct now, is that calmness and that, that presence.
And being a mother, is it something that you've kind of encouraged your children to do? Or are you letting them on their own little journey?
It's the latter. You know, I would love to say my children meditate. We meditate all the time together. It's this whole kumbaya, beautiful household. No, it's not like that. Unfortunately, what seemed, because they're teenagers, as I mentioned, so 13 and 16, and it seems to be something that they want to rebel against. And I've never been one to push them. I, early in my meditation journey, I was like, oh, these would be great for you to learn. So let's take some time before school and just watch our breath. And it just was this thing of like, the last thing they wanted to do was to watch their breath. And so it became this point of contention where it was like, they hated that. And so I was realizing like, oh, they're pushing away. Not only are they not embracing it, but they're pushing it away. I don't enforce anything with them. I really don't even, I'm very, very light-handed in terms of, sometimes when they're really worked up, I will say like, let's just breathe into your tummy. But it's funny because when it comes from me, it's like the worst thing they could possibly do. But if my husband, who is not a meditator, not formally anyway, he, especially with my daughter, he can guide her into like, okay, just breathe. I'll count for you, breathe. And she'll listen to him. But if I take the exact same approach, she will not do it. So there's really this, I get it, that they want to be their own people. They want to forge their own path. There's a lot of natural kid stuff that is going on with them that parents are dealing with in different ways, in their households. But there really is this, at this point, definitely no interest from them. And there's a, my intuition is just to let them have that. And then it's here. I'm more of a role model right now, so that when they're ready, they have this model and they know where they can come to get advice anytime that they need it.
And I think sometimes it's just start watching everything that's going on, and eventually they kind of realize, hey, you kind of remain a lot calmer in situations compared to some people. Why is that? And eventually they'll put two and two together, but they have to kind of, do their own little journey.
Exactly. Yeah.
So with the energy healing then, is this kind of hand energy healing, or what exactly does it entail?
So I am a Reiki master. I've gone through that training. So if I were to put a label on it, I would say it's that. But it's really kind of my own thing. I think that this happens a lot with healers where you kind of start with a modality And then things just kind of open up and you sort of have this inner journey of like, oh, it feels like this wants to happen. Or so when I do healing sessions, it's not like strict adherence to the teachings of Reiki. I do still use the symbols and the words, there is a lot with it that I still utilize, because it's not like I don't think that's effective, but it's just that it does seem that there's some innate additional kind of things that come through it's just an inner thing. You know, it's a guidance of like, oh, okay, my hands want to go here. Or it feels like, and it really varies person to person, but it might feel like, oh, I'm at the solar plexus and I really feel like I also need to have a hand at the top of the head, and that I need to like envision my hands, my arms as like a pyramid. And then the energy from my hands is kind of coming, you know, together through the body. And there's this symbol, you know what I mean? It's just, and it's, again, it's very in the moment, not planned. And so I don't even really have like a name for that other than just, you know, it's a healing and it helps me and it seems to help clients.
And do you do it with your eyes closed or open? Do you feel the energy?
It does help me to close my eyes. Yeah. And sometimes I'm working with people in person. And sometimes it's through distance. So it's definitely using that quantum capability in terms of time and space kind of not being necessary things. If I'm working with somebody through distance, I do like to connect with them. Like I enjoy if we're together in time. So I might say, you know, we agree on a time, I'll connect with them on the phone or on FaceTime and then hang up and instruct them to like lie down, make themselves comfortable. They may want to have some music and I can suggest some specific frequency music to kind of help them, but I want them to kind of experience. It's not completely necessary. They could go about their day, but it's such an enjoyable experience to, you know, and it's fun to hear back of like, oh, I was feeling that, you know, they were picking up or seeing light or things like that. So I also always connect with them afterwards to debrief of like, okay, here's some of the stuff that I was picking up on, or I felt, or information that I perceived. And then they can likewise say, oh, I was feeling this spiraling energy, or I saw this color, or I felt this in my, you know, lower right part of my stomach or whatever it might be. So it's really fascinating to see how our information kind of lines up at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And you mentioned like quantum physics and like the different multi dimensions, because you know everybody's got different kind of thoughts on this, and I know which are on guests and stuff like that. I'd love to just kind of delve into that, because I've heard of people talking about 3D, 5D, 8D and everything and don't get it, and I'd love to know.
Yeah, so like what do we mean by multidimensionality? Yeah. So like you say, there are different dimensions, different levels, different numbers that people put to them. I'm not great at being like, oh, this is this dimension. I mean, I've had multidimensional experiences and it's basically like my consciousness going bigger than my body, and I can experience beyond the body. And often in those experiences, I'm seeing things. Usually for me, when I'm going to be seeing things, it's like colors with different geometric patterns. And there's a sense of like physical distance from my body. So, and there's a difference in the what's happening with what I'm seeing. So even though it's different geometries, like when I'm immediately outside of my body, there's like a thickness and like a, it feels a little bit more, it's hard for me to describe, but it feels like denser. It's denser energy. So it's not physical, but it's so dense that it's almost physical. And to me, that's 4D. That's being in the fourth dimension. And there are people who talk about how we are actually 3/4D humans, because we are kind of still in that fourth dimension as well. A lot of people are already awakened to the fourth dimension, but when I'm actually experiencing it energetically, it's very close to, it's like the next level just outside of my body. And it's so dense, the energy is so dense and so thick that it almost feels physical, but it's not. And then there's this sense of just like traveling or expanding a little, like just continuing to expand to where I can perceive a little bit further out. And then this, the density starts to change, meaning like the energy starts to feel a little bit less dense, a little bit thinner. The geometries change, they organize in a different way. The colors change and intensify. And that's where I can start to see some colors that I don't see with my physical eyes. But again, there is almost like a physical location to it in relation to my body. Does that make sense?
No, I see lots of shapes and colors and stuff like that. And I know I've actually scared people by seeing stuff and they don't say, and I can do it with my eyes open, not being asleep, uh-huh. just going lying down. It doesn't always happen. And when I was younger, like they class it as sleep paralysis, but I don't know, was it a form of that where I kind of felt the darkness coming over me and it kind of scared me. And eventually I faced up to it and that stopped. But like loads of times, whether my eyes are closed or open,
yes.
I can see all shapes. I can see amazing things. It's like you're tripping. You're just looking at this and go.
Exactly. So I don't know if you've ever, when that's happening, kind of noticed like, okay, if I bring my attention closer to my body, how the shapes change, how the geometries change, how the colors change, and how you can bring your awareness further out and it changes. And it changes like density too, to where I can keep going out and it starts to become like, rather than like these shapes with colors and so forth, it's like thin lines, like thin golden lines. And to me, again, just my interpretation, because I believe that different people are interpreting different things in different ways and maybe using the same language for different things. And so I'm not a scholar on like what everybody's talking about when they use different language. But for me, the way that it feels is like, okay, if I start to get further out and things start to become less like shapes and more like thin intersecting lines, that's a higher dimension. Like then you might start getting into fifth dimension, sixth dimension, seventh dimension, but it's to do with the experience of how the energy is changing and what is being perceived. And you can feel that like, okay, this is a lighter energy. There's also maybe you have some awareness of like where your attention is in your brain simultaneously to being connected to what's outside of your body, but there's also can be activations or like a vibration or even just an awareness of where you are with your brain. And if you can bring your awareness like higher up in your brain, it can start to change how far out you're going. And it's very like so many things are interrelated, vibrations that are happening within the body and different like around different chakras and how that changes what's active in the brain and what's happening in those different, you know, locations outside of the body. All of it is connected. It's all related to frequency and vibration. It's complicated and it's simple too. You know, I mean, it just is. It's not like, one of the things that I notice when I'm in those states, because like you say, for me, it doesn't happen all the time. It happens multiple times. It will, I can see with my eyes closed, with my eyes open, I'm not asleep. But I may be laying down, like preparing to sleep. And then it's like, whoa, there's a whole show going
on
here.
Usually when it happens to me, I just go, yes. But I'm 100% not asleep. And it's like, this is so cool. I wish you could record it.
I agree completely. So, but there's another piece to it that's fascinating too, which is this neutrality of like, it's very cool, but it's also like, when I'm hearing other people talk about it, sometimes there's this like, oh, the higher dimensions are the best dimensions. Like, I wish I could be in the best dimensions. And it, they're just different. You know, there is like, yeah, I do believe you're getting closer to source, that you're getting out of some negativity. You're getting like, in order to hold those, you have to be in a higher vibration and it feels better. But there's also this neutrality of like, it's not like the third dimension is wrong or the fourth dimension is wrong. They're just what they are. And that's kind of a necessary component as well of not a judging of like, I love how you talk about having that experience when you were younger of this dark thing coming over you and there was resistance, but then by facing it, you know, you didn't really get to complete your story, but that seemed to be a necessary component. Well, in order to face those things, there has to be this neutrality and a curiosity and a like, what is here for me? That why is this showing up and it, what is being offered here? So, because when we kind of like hold on to these judgments, right or wrong, better and worse and so forth, that can get kind of gnarly. Because we are everything and everything is within us. And so in order to access those kind of quote unquote higher states, there is a necessary element of neutrality.
I'm just curious what percentage of people actually see this, because I know that I freaked out kind of partners that I've been with when I've seen this, and it's like, they're not getting it. Loads of people don't, but do you come across many people that actually can see this?
No, not, I wouldn't say so. I would not say so. I mean, I do come across people because it comes up, not people like you who are like, yeah, I've seen that loads of times and I know exactly what you're talking about. That's rare, I would say, in my experience, but I do feel like things are opening up more and more and that more people will be. And I think it's really important that we have people who are going through this and sharing about it, because the more we evolve, and there are a lot of prophecies and predictions about the acceleration of human consciousness, and particularly in the next handful of years, there's going to be a big spike in expansion of consciousness among people who will be in completely new territory and maybe feel like they're losing their minds. So I think it's really important that these stories are shared so that people know that there are reference points and that it's okay. It is a part of evolution, of consciousness expanding. And I believe that, you know, the experiences that you're having will become really important for people as they start seeing things with their eyes open and when they're not asleep and freak out. And you can be like, okay, I know exactly what is happening. It's okay. It's a blessing. You're going to be okay. Just, you know, stay calm and so forth.
Embrace the beautiful, you know, shapes and colors.
Right. Yeah.
Enjoy the journey.
So yes.
With the podcast, because I know you mentioned it at the start, but we actually both started in November 2018, because I've got five, but I actually started podcasting. So we both started at the same time.
And, how about that?
Yeah. So you actually have 313 episodes, because you thought you might be 300, but 313, you're in the top.
Oh, is it 313? Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Top 3% as well. Well, congratulations on that.
Wonderful.
But I see.
Thank you.
You'd Neil Donald Walsh recently, but I just curious, because I mean, we mentioned Tom, and like, what
guests have you had on? Because I mean, I know just in my podcasting journey, not just the meditation, but in everything, there's always a few people that go, it makes you just kind of go, wow, what things have happened to you in your podcasting journey that's kind of made you kind of change your thought process?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. I just had Neil Donald Walsh on, the author of Conversations with God. That was his second appearance. I had a live stream with him last week, and that was really, really beautiful. I mean, Conversations with God was one of those really early, like my first awakening book when I was like 19 years old, where I found this book randomly and it completely blew open how I thought about God, how I thought about spirituality. So it was still another probably like almost 20 years before I actually started waking up and like actively working on my spiritual growth. But that was a foundational kind of cornerstone piece. And so interviewing him twice now, we're actually working on our third, we're booking the third interview, but that was like, what? How am I interviewing like one of my heroes, really? You know, and he's very humble in terms of like, these are not my teachings. This is what happened with like the insight that God gave me in our conversations. I also recently had on Lynn McTaggart, who has done some fascinating studies on group intention. She's run global experiments and had a huge impact on people manifesting healings and really life-changing things, and even lowering crime rates in war-torn countries. She's done some very, very powerful work. So connecting with her was really great. There's somebody who's pretty big in the QHHT world, quantum hypnosis healing technique, who worked with Dolores Cannon, who's the founder of QHHT. She's the creator of QHHT, who has now passed on. But Suzanne Spooner, who worked with her in the last 2 years of her life, and Ruben Langdon is another favorite of mine. I've had him on a couple times. He created Interview with ED, Extra Dimensionals. So that's on a channel here in the States called Gaia. He's done some fascinating things in terms of extra dimensionals, people who channel extra dimensionals or extraterrestrials, lots of different names for that type of person. Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor, who wrote My Stroke of Insight. That's an incredible work where she worked for Harvard studying the brain. And I can't remember now exactly what her title was, but she was in her 30s going to Harvard every day, studying the brain. And she had a stroke at 37. And she was like, oh my God, I'm having a stroke. And she was like, I'm going to see it from the inside. Like she was fascinated by what was happening. But the way that it became a very mystical experience for her, and the whole rebuilding of her brain and how she, it completely changed her. She was able to heal herself, but now she has all this insight into the brain and mysticism and how we're connected to all things. She has an amazing TED Talk out there too, but her book is phenomenal. So that was another, like, I just loved being able to connect with her. And I've had lots of fascinating people who have had like alien experiences. Barbara Lamb, who's a regression therapist for contactees, had her out on a couple times. She's just a wealth of knowledge of crop circles and how ETs are advancing our consciousness, the role that they're playing in our spiritual awakening. None of this was anything. Like when I started this podcast, I didn't give aliens really a second thought. And I was really like, of the camp of like, I'm not sure that that's really a thing. And the people who talk about it a lot kind of made me think that maybe they were not completely tethered to reality. So that's been part of my evolution of like this understanding of like, oh, aliens are real and they're really playing an important foundational role in our evolution. That has been a fascinating journey for me too. And has required some humility in my own journey of like, you know, I just like the more I know, the more I understand that there's so much to know and there's so much that I don't know that I still don't know. And so I try to keep my explanations of things kind of holding those loosely and lightly, because there's always room for like new understandings, new ways for the pieces to fit together, which is just kind of requires this humility of like, this is how I understand things right now. And I might understand them more completely and better in a month or in a year or in a decade or whatever. And so that's been one of the fun things with the podcast is just continuing to have these guests on who can push my understanding of how things might be working and gain more complete understanding, you know, with each interview as it presents.
Yeah, I think it's important as well, because there's plenty of times I'd have a thought process and I'm just open to something and then I just go down the rabbit hole and not necessarily believe what they say, but I'm kind of going, I like what they've said. And then I start reading a load of books based on that and go down further research. And then I go, okay, I was wrong. My original belief, they were correct. And also just curious as well, because I mean, you've had a lot of famous, you know, guests on your show and I've done the same, but it's my belief system. Yeah, they should be on my show. I never reach out begging or anything like that. It's just like, yeah, I want them, you know, and it's like, I just put it out there and I get them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I love when that happens. And I've reached out to people that I haven't heard back from too. And I just trust that as well. I mean, what are you going to do? And, you know, there's this, I love what you're talking about, how it's like you have people on and then you maybe are new to what they're talking about and you do learn that like what they're talking about is valid. But there's also discernment that we all, you know, as hosts, but also as listeners and as people who are trying to find our highest path, that discernment is so critical. And we want to be careful about, just because somebody is an authority, maybe they do have like millions of followers or thousands of followers or whatever, or millions of books sold or whatever it might be. But it's still really important that we are discerning for ourselves. I mean, I literally just yesterday was having a guest who was wanting to be on my show. I didn't really know him, but I was like, sure, you know, he's talking about quantum healing and it was kind of up my alley, but I started to realize this encroachment of like his team coming in and really encroaching on my free will, you know, telling me what it was going to be titled, telling me what questions to ask, sending me things, you know, like quantum technology, but that I don't know this person. And I, you know, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, you can send that to me. That'll be fine. But the more communication I was getting, I was like, okay, I can see like I have boundaries and there seems to be some sort of like overarching, like pushing, and it didn't feel right. And I canceled. I was like, they were changing my contract that I have with guests where it's just a, you know, hey, let's just make sure we're on the same page. This is my content. I can share it with you if you want, but here's where we stand. And it's just like a standard boilerplate thing. They sent that back with changes that, you know, we're not liable for any listeners, whatever, you know. I'm like, red flag after red flag. And even though I was interested and, you know, I can get sucked into like quantum healing, you know, whatever, oh, this person must be doing good stuff. It was like, wait a minute, checking in with myself. I don't feel good about this. There is something off. And even if I can't place my finger on exactly, I have some ideas. I have a best case scenario. This is happening. Worst case scenario. This is happening. And either way, I'm out. And so it is that, you know, understanding as a host, as a listener, we have that responsibility for ourselves where it's like checking in, how does this feel? Because not everybody who is delivering information that's not mainstream has our best interest at heart. And there are definitely people out there that are trying to hook us and want us to only listen to them, give us their energy, give us their money, and not look at anything else. And these are very slippery slopes and they're easy to get entrapped in. And it's really important that we exercise our own free will and that we don't get distracted by the follower thing and the flash and the, you know, the savior things that can be easy to be like, oh, this is my key. This is the quickest way for me to get, you know, ascended or whatever it might be. There are definite minefields out there, and we definitely need to take our free will and use it.
I kind of cop when there's someone trying to do a pitch fest, and there's been a time that I wouldn't actually post the interview because it's like they're just constantly trying to sell. They don't care about the listener, not giving value to the listener. And it's like, no, that's not what it's about. And also somebody reaches out to me and they're like asking for the downloads and everything. I said, no, for me, it's like if one person listens to this conversation and they benefit from it, if they've had the experience that we've did and they thought they were crazy and they go, oh, thank God, I just got this. That is good enough for me. It's like, right. You know that the person, they were there, they heard it at the right time or somebody forwarded it to them. And that's the most important. But some people, they're looking, you know, for the magic numbers. And the same with the biggest. I mean, it's great getting the biggest. But like the thing to remember is like, they're not sharing that out. They're just happy. It's good for you. But it's the people that nobody knows that I like on the speaking podcast. It was like a 16-year-old beatboxer, and he went into Toastmasters. Like I just loved the way he was kind of pushing himself and everything. You know, he signed under his dad because you have to be 18, and it's like that's beating loads of people with the download because he was so happy and he shared it and everything. But it was just the energy and everything. And you know, like some people, like I know some podcasts, and they're really trying to reach out for the big boys, and they're like just you know, instead of them just coming and it just lands and it's just like, oh, I'd like to have him because I think it would be an interesting conversation.
Yes. Yeah. I just had somebody on last week who is like he's a French coach. Like he helps people learn how to speak French. And I'm editing this podcast right now. And it's like, it seems like it wouldn't be relevant to a meditation podcast. And I'm like, listen to this. Like, don't just look at this and be like, oh, I don't care about learning French. Listen to what he's talking about.
Is that your man, Andres Perret? No?
Yeah, Angel Preteau.
Yeah, Preteau. Yeah.
Have you had him on?
I've had him on. I've been on his. He's actually a lovely guy. Fantastic guy.
He's so lovely. Brilliant. And I love what he's doing with his clients because he's working with them. Like, let's clear out these traumas. Let's work with your future self. Like he's working at the quantum level, but to achieve something that he's gifted with and that is very practical for people, but he sees it from a much higher perspective of like, how can we take the whole you, the whole being, and integrate that and integrate this learning into that. And so it's like, you might be like scrolling through being like, well, I don't care about learning French or whatever. I really want to get to the heart of quantum, whatever. And it's like, it might not be a name you've ever heard of. And it might not even be content that you think is going to be relevant to you, but it's like, there is gold in here. Like, listen to this.
I remember thinking, I wish I had teachers like him, just the way he thinks and everything he does. He looks at each person individually and he creates a system, and it's like, and he's not pushing anything. There's no hard agenda. He's like pure love coming from him.
Yes. It's very much like, I want you to use this learning of another language to complete you as a person. And I feel like that's the future of how we all can take the work that we're doing with each other, even if it's not necessarily spiritual or energetic work at the surface, but we're taking that care and that holistic approach with all of our interactions of like, how can this be something that it benefits all the layers of a person?
And just with like the chakras then, because I've had a few episodes recently and I put different meditations and stuff like that. And I just like to know your kind of thoughts on the kind of the feeling of it and your experience with chakras.
Yeah. So some of those multidimensional experiences that we've talked about where, you know, you're not sleeping, but maybe laying down, preparing to go to sleep, but eyes open, eyes closed, either way, the experience doesn't change. I have felt distinct vibrations in my chakras. So I understand that the chakras are not physical and you can dissect a human body and you will never find this circle, this sphere that is the chakra because it's energetic. So it's not physical. And there, it's not unusual for there to be a bundle of nerves where the chakra is, but it was fascinating to me to be in some of these experiences and being like, oh my gosh, my solar plexus is literally vibrating. Like I can physically feel a vibration. And it wasn't even just a sphere. Cause if you ever see like the renditions, an artist's rendition of the chakras, it's like these spheres of colored lights basically along the spine and up into the head. And it was like these vibrations would grow and I'd have this like horizontal band where that whole section of my body was vibrating, but physically vibrating. And even to the effect of like outside of my body, like the bed where I'm like, I can even feel vibrations. Like I'm, and my husband's sleeping next to me. And it's like, I wonder if he could feel like if he was awake, if he'd be able to feel these vibrations. And then that one would stop and another one would start. And again, it'd be like beyond even just the sphere where it was like expanding as this band and going even beyond my body. As that was happening and I was just becoming aware of those vibrations, then I was also experiencing the color that was relating to it. And then understanding, because of course we know that the chakras have different elements that are part of them being color and different earth elements, you know, like the root is red, but it's also associated with the earth element. There are different emotions that are tied to it. But what I was understanding is that the things in our external environment are working with those parts of our chakra system. So if I'm feeling out of balance, in my root, for example, spending time with trees, spending time on the earth, that is where, from a physical location, where I store, those parts of me are physically, energetically located. They're energetically kind of stored and housed in that physical location of my body. So it can all work together. Also feeling that vibration, it's like, oh, the vibration is frequency. Frequency is the measurement of vibration. So it's like, I'm feeling this vibration. I'm actually tuning into what that physical vibration is. So if we're like listening to things that are at that vibration, it's automatically activating and stimulating that part of the body. So it's all intertwined and it's all helping to balance. And it was just this very experiential understanding of things that I intellectually knew, but it was like, well, you know, before those experiences, it was kind of like, oh, okay, well, every chakra has a color and they have an element, but it was like, I don't really know why, but then just that, all of that knowledge kind of fell in of like, oh, they're all working together to stimulate and balance, and there are things that we can use in our external to kind of create that balance within us. I don't know, does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Beautiful. And just finally, with the coaching then, like who's your ideal clients? What exactly would be perfect for you?
I do enjoy working with people who already are curious and not so locked into the real world is what my five senses tells me and shows me. I tailor my teaching and the way that I speak based on how new somebody is. So I do have clients who are very new to meditation and I'm not going to go right to them talking about ETs or even chakras or whatever, you know, we gotta crawl before we can walk. But I really get a lot of joy from working with people who are curious and wanting to connect more with their spiritual nature and just looking for ways to nurture that within themselves. It's not absolutely necessary. I can work with people who are very tied to the physical and not ready to kind of expand in that way. But my sweet spot is like, oh, you want to go deeper and connect stronger with your higher self, with the invisible nature of reality. I love that.
Beautiful, beautiful. So thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. Carrie, you might let people know how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Roy. This has been a really, really beautiful discussion. People can reach me at caragoodwin.com. That's Cara with a K. I have meditation resources. You can get free downloads of meditations. And I have weekly live streams with really interesting guests. That's like I mentioned Neil Donald Walsh was last week through the Conscious Awakening Network. So those are live streamed. You can get information about those on my website. And then my podcast is The Meditation Conversation, and that's on all the hosting platforms. I put them on YouTube as well. I'm slow to do that. I'm trying to give more attention to YouTube when I can, but I'm kind of a one-woman show, and it's just hard to get everywhere all the time. And I'm on Instagram. I'm on most of the socials. Well, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, I should say, but I pay most attention to Instagram at Cara_Goodwin_meditation. And I spell Cara with a K. I can't remember if I said that already.
Oh, perfect. I'll make sure I put the links of the website and all your handles and the podcast on both the audio and the video. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This has been lovely.
No problem. So that's all for the Meditation Podcast. You'll find all our episodes at meditationpodcast.org. We're on BitChute, YouTube, and Rumble. And you'll find my four other podcasts along with my coaching bio.link/podcaster. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating, share with your friends. And make sure you give Cara 5-star rating as well on her podcast because it really helps. Until next week, take care.
So I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. You'll find everything about me on bio.link/podcaster with all my podcasts, and you'll find it you see in the QR code in the graphic I've shown. I'd like again to thank my sponsors. So if you or someone you know struggling with anxiety and want to know how to be 100% anxiety-free in 6 weeks without therapy or drugs, Daniel Packard's Anxiety Solution Program company offers a 6-week system that permanently solves anxiety at an astounding 90% success rate. People who join the program only pay at the end, once they have clear, measurable results. If you're interested in learning more, go to permanentanxietysolutions.com, where you can book a free consultation with Daniel. Do you fight blood pressure and or want to get off the meds? Doctors are amazed at what Zona Plus can do. You can get a $50 discount with my code Roy, zona.com/discount/Roy. And you'll see it in the QR code as well as Daniel's QR code. Quality manufacturer of metal products for telecommunication and workshop equipment and other metal materials. You see the brochure there in the QR code and let me know if you would like a quotation shipped internationally at very competitive price. I'd like to thank all my sponsors and also all my listeners. Be sure to give me a thumbs up, 5-star rating, share with your friends, really helps. And I also have a video on how to give a 5-star rating because a lot of people have wrote to me asking me that they don't know how to do that. Until next week, take care.